Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today, Mizmor Lamed Bet Lev, Psalm number 32. We notice in the middle of Psalm 31 that David inserted a small phrase in verse 11 in which he acknowledged his sin. A sort of mini confession slipped into an otherwise unrepentant psalm, and for that matter, an unrepentant last 30 psalms. That's not to say that David was unrepentant when he needed to be. I mean, the stories in the Nevi'im and the prophets teaches us that he sometimes was, but it has yet to enter into the Psalter until now. Recall Psalm 1, Ashrei Ha'ish, fortunate is a man who has not walked in the counsel of wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of scornful. But what about the man who does not evade sin? What about the man who succumbs to his evil inclination and causes great mischief? Can he ever regain his metaphysical fortune, his ashrei? Can that individual find redemption despite his indiscretions? What measures can he take to retain a legacy he worked so long to establish? Or is he lost forever? The answer comes in the form of Psalm 32. Another time it begins with the word ashrei. Of course, this time it says Le David Maskil, and then the word Ashrei. Maskil is an interesting word. It sounds like some kind of intellectual psalm, poem. Nevertheless, the structure of the psalm is as follows. Verses 1 and 2 are an introduction, praising the one who has gone through this process of tshuva catharsis. Now, 3 to 5 offer an explanation of the dangers of defiance and the rewards of confession, with 5 being an explanation of the actual confession. 6 to 8 speak of recreating relationship with God after the sin, punishment, and resolution. And 9 to 11, the concluding verses glean a moral lesson to evil and righteous as a result of the experience. Le David Maskil Ashrei Nisui Pesha Kisui Chata'a. The Psalm of David Maskil. Fortunate is who is he whose rebelliousness is carried, or his sin is lifted, whose iniquity is covered. Then it says it again, Ashrei Adam, lo yachshov Adonai lo avon, vein berucho remia. Fortunate is the man unto whom God no longer considers his iniquity, and whose spirit there's no deception. In sin, one is overcome by desire. One does not contemplate actions. One acts. But immediately afterwards, after the adrenaline fades away, when feelings of guilt seep into one's soul, at that moment and the moments after that, until the next opportunity is sin, the individual must make a choice. Cover it up or confront your sin and be ready to deal with the consequences. This is the discussion in Psalm 32. David uses the word kisui, to cover, in verse 1, referring to the way God atones, he covers up our sin. And again in verse 5, referring to man's desire to deny or cover up and evade responsibility. David's premise is that only through an honest confession and a readiness to expose yourself to family, friends, and country will you merit a true cover from God, and will God lift the burden of your sins off of you, paving the way to self-redemption. Verse 2 invokes Ashrei again to praise the individual for whom God does not consider his sin any longer. This because the individual returned to God with such sincerity and totality that's as if the sin is no more. The verse ends, though, with a caveat. Ein remia, there's no deception. As long as the individual returns with all their heart, is not paying lip service to the process, then it will work. Verses 3 to 4. When I kept silence, when I covered it up, my bones wore away through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my sap was turned as in the droughts of summer, Selah. Verses 3 and 4 could have been written by Dostoevsky's Raskolnikov. Hiding your indiscretion and maintaining silence ultimately wears your bones, atrophies your conscience. Turning on the phrase in verse 1, where God's lightening your burden, The psalmist shares his terrible feelings as a result of him trying to keep his sins stuck inside, which ultimately leads to God resting his heavy hand upon him, crushing his spirit. And then comes the expression of the tshuva. Chatati odiyacha v'avoni lo chisiti. Amarti odeh alai psha'ai l'adonai v'ata nasata avon chatati sela. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hid. I said I will make confession concerning my transgressions to God, and you carried the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 5 presents the heart of the tshuva process. I'm sorry, verse 5 presents the heart of the tshuva process. When he recalls that he acknowledged the sin in its entirety, not leaving anything out, and God, upon hearing his true remorse, carried his iniquity. This phrase, nosei avon, is used many times in Psalms and in Torah in general. It is one of the expressions used in denoting God's attributes of kindness, especially after the major sins of the golden calf and the spies. Carrying the sin plants the image in our minds of God lifting the weight of sin and shame off of our backs and lightening our load. God is filled with compassion even in the way he forgives. For this, let everyone that is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, when the great waters overflow, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place, he says to God, from an adversary with songs of deliverance. I will teach you, instruct you in the way you shall go. I will give counsel, my eye is on you. In the first 6 verses, his sitting state of three, four are enveloped by the healthier experience of divulging, confessing, and working towards reconciliation in 1, 2, 5, and 6. But what truly sets David apart from the rest of the psalm is his desire to turn his personal misfortune into a learning experience for all those around him. Both in this psalm and in Psalm 51, David expresses his willingness to teach of his folly and help others avoid the pitfalls of sin. One may teach only after there's acceptance, confession, steps taken towards reconciliation, and a willingness to put yourself out there in humiliation in order that you may ultimately earn respect in your eyes, God's, and those around you. Al tiyu kesus kipered ein havin, rabim machovim l'rasha v'abateach b'adonai chesed yisovevenu, simchu b'adonai v'gilu tzadikim v'arninu kol yishvei lev. Don't be like the horse or the mule who have no understanding. He that many sorrows are wicked, but he who trusts in God, mercy encircles him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. The penultimate verse expresses David's message of good and evil and divine retribution. For those who do not choose repentance, they will suffer. But those who trust in God, chesed encircles them, and ultimately they will be able to rejoice with God. The end of the psalm speaks of joy, happiness, deliverance. It reminds the average reader that as great as David's sin was, there is still a path towards redemption. Only this path must be transparent. David must reject his human inclination to cover up, to achieve divine atonement, and then God will cover his sins and lift the burden of guilt off of his shoulders.